All right, turn to the person next to you right now. Give him a big smile and ask him this question. Don't you wish you looked as good as I do today? All right, let's try one more. It's always good to get a good compliment. How about turn to the person next to you, look him in the eyes, say, I'm so happy. Tell the person next to you, I'm so happy. I am so glad. I am so thankful that I don't look like you. All right, one more. Turn to the person next to you, look in her eyes, repeat after me with the same emotion I use. Look at their eyes right now. Ready? Tú tienes. Tell them that. Tú tienes. Un moco. En tu labio. That means something like you got a booger on your lip, okay? All right, look at this way. Everybody go shh. Do it three times. Do it 3¾ times. Sweet. Let's pray, and then we're going to dig in. Can I tell you right now before we pray, this is not fun. This will not be fun today. I promise you, okay? Probably not going to laugh a lot. It's not going to be... It's actually, this is an illustration of one of those things. We talked about hating what God hates, and we're going to look at it today, okay? So all I'm asking is keep your heart wide open. This is... Well, we're going to be in the book of Ezekiel, and this is a vision. It's a warning. It's like a prophetic warning of God, warning us of some of the mess we can get into. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. And I do pray that you keep our hearts wide open. We know that you love us, and that's why you warn us of sin. And help us, Father, to keep our hearts open and not be hardened by this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a high-tech world. Not a question about it. There's not a day goes by without the phrase dot this or dot com this or dot com that going away. Guys in the back, I am having, help me out here. Having a little bit of a problem. We're not clicking. Make sure we're plugged in there, the USB plugged in there. Everybody go, hi guys. I know it was working earlier. We'll get it. We promise we'll get it. Do you need, is it froze up there? See if you can do it manually first. Yes, now let's see if I can do it. Okay, is the USB thing stuck in there? Maybe take it out and stick it back in. Just see if it'll reboot, if it'll redo. If not, you guys are going to have to do it. If you want to try that, that was good. This worked earlier, but we can do either one. Bring me that one, as long as I have one. Sorry about that. Really, I am. Oh, I got it. It's coming. We're good. Just took time to think, okay? Okay. Good. All right, everybody sit up straight. Sorry. You know, I can't even tell you how many times that this message, either there's some bats that came in or the lights go out, the electricity. I promise you, this is a message that Satan never, ever wants you to hear, okay? I promise you. Because you know, this is life, okay? We live in a high-tech world. Again, there's not a day goes by that we're not interacting with the internet. And actually, the internet's going to get bigger and stronger and faster and more appealing every single day. Girls, the day's quickly, very quickly coming when everything in your kitchen will be computerized. Yeah, your refrigerator will have a scanning device. It knows what you put in, what you take out. You could be on your way home from town. Your iPhone rings. You answer it. It's your refrigerator calling you. And it says, please stop and pick up a gallon of milk and 2 or 3 dozen donuts or something like that. We live in a high-tech world. But I want you to know there is a dark side to the internet. And the dark side sometimes is very difficult to avoid. You could put it this way. For centuries, Satan has been hurling fiery darts. Today he's gotten his hands on a weapon of mass destruction. Let me tell you why I spent literally hundreds of hours on this one message alone. In 1 week at camp, remember I'm a camp director. In 1 week at camp, 3 different teenage girls came to me from different homes, different churches, different situations, although the story almost sounded the same. And it was something like this. I said, Rain, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what's up? I said, the other night at home, I woke up in the middle of the night and had to use the restroom. When I was walking down the hall, I thought I heard or saw something in the living room. And when I looked in, there was my dad. And he was watching that pornography on the computer. And I don't know what to do. A junior in high school, a guy came to me, said, "Rand, I got a real problem." He and his dad had this little game. His dad had a home office, and every day when he'd get home from school, he'd sneak around and bang on the window and scare his dad. He said, "The other day, I was just ready to bang on the window when I looked through and saw what he was looking at. I figured it had to be a pop-up or something, but instead he went to another site. I didn't know what to do, so I went in and got Mom. We went down to his office. Of course, the door was locked. By the time he let us in, he had shut down his computer. He denied everything. He said, "But Rand, I know what I saw. My problem is he's not just my dad. He's also my pastor, and I don't know what to do." And I did. I started studying the Word of God to see what God said about this. I took my Strong's Concordance. I looked up computer. I looked up website. I looked up you got to get a Dell dude. I looked up all this stuff. And I finally came across this article from this chapter. Again, it's stopping on me again. You're going to have to bring the other one, guys. I don't know what's going on. We may try it. Found this vision of God given to Ezekiel. Okay, now I know that God did not give us this vision in Ezekiel chapter 8 just with the internet in mind. But teens, I also know to God, 1,000 years is but a day, and a day is 1,000 years, okay? So for like God, 2,000 years ago was just like the day before yesterday. This vision he gave to Ezekiel, he basically was saying this: Ezekiel, I want you to see what's going on right now in the midst of my people. How many of you know, without a shadow of a doubt, you know that you're a Christian, you're trusting Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Let me see your hands high. So you are God's people. I hope what we read in this chapter is not true in your life. It came to pass in the 6th year and the 6th month and the 5th day of the month as I sat in my house that the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness is the appearance of fire. It's describing here the glory of God, okay? From the appearance of his loins even downward, fire. From his loins even upward, his appearance of brightness is the color of amber. I love that word amber, by the way. That's my wife's name. Verse 3. And he put forth the form of a hand, and he took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me between the earth and the heaven, and he brought me to the visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks towards the north, where was the seat of the image of, say the next word out loud, please, jealousy. Say it again, jealousy, which provoketh to, say it, jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision I saw in the plain. In verse 5, you guys have to switch it from the back since this guy's not working. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lift up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of this altar, this image of, say it, jealousy in the entry. I want to stop there 1 second. When it speaks of God's jealousy, it's not the same kind of jealousy that you guys have, teens. Don't look around. But you know the couples that are like going together, going out, main item, all that kind of stuff. You ever see them? Look at me. Don't look at them. You ever see them when they're right in the middle of a fight? Isn't it kind of fun? You want to make faces at them and all? You know, you've all been there. Youth group goes bowling. Everybody's throwing the ball between their legs, having fun. And here's a couple sitting over there. You can tell she is ticked. And she looks at the guy and she says, "You look at her. You think she's prettier than I am, don't you? Ha, ha, ha." You know, we see this go on. Now, God's jealousy is totally different. God is not jealous of. Get this. God is jealous for us. Teens, he knows what kind of love can reach down and grab a hold of your heart and pull your heart away from him. He knows what kind of sin that you can get involved in and begin loving it more than you love God. A boy came to me, he was 14, homeschooler. He said, "Rand, I got this problem." He said, "Mom and I were doing a homework assignment when this pornography came on screen. We have no idea where it came from. We quick turned the monitor off, rebooted the computer." Then he told me this. He said, "Rand, I've never seen that stuff before, and I've never seen it since, but I want to." And you guys know as well as I do that once it begins to grab a hold of your heart, it does not want to let go. Verse 6, he said, "Furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great," say the next word, please, "abominations." Say it again, abominations. Whenever you read the word abomination, you should think hate, hate, hate. See the great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Ezekiel, see what my people are doing. They're choosing to be involved in that which I hate, and they've driven me out of the sanctuary. They don't want to worship me anymore. The sanctuary is a place of worship, both corporately and even privately, where you guys could meet with your own private sanctuary with God. And almost every time a teenager or college guy comes to me and they say something like, "Rand, man, I need some help. I'm addicted to porn. I don't know what to do." I always tell them, I said, "Listen, if you will listen to me, I can help you. But before we talk, I got one question for you. How's your devotional life?" And here's what they do almost every single time. It's non-existent. You cannot spend night after night filling your mind with this kind of trash and think you can easily get up each morning and spend time with God. You can't spend Saturday night filling your mind with garbage and then go to your church this Sunday morning and freely worship God. They've driven him totally out of the sanctuary. He says, "But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations." And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, "Son of man, dig now in the wall. When I dig in the wall, behold a door." It almost sounds like a Zelda thing going on here, okay? Verse 9. Then he said unto me, "Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed in the wall round about. When Ezekiel walked into this room, there's graffiti on the walls, both words and pictures that depicted the most wicked, perverse immorality that was associated with the idolatrous worship. He says, these things portrayed. You guys, again, know as well as I do on the dark side of the internet. There are images on the internet that would be illegal to sell in adult bookstores today. He stood before them, 70 men of the, say the next word please, ancients. Who are the ancients? And seriously, I'm not trying to be silly here. That's the teachers and pastors and parents. And in a way, some of you seniors and you juniors. I mean, come on, you're old enough to know better. Who, according to Hebrews 5, by reason of use, you've matured to the point where you know how to make good decisions. The ancients. I mean, if anybody's going to fall, if these guys fall, and much of my counseling is not necessarily with teens and their struggle, but what they have to face with the adults in their life. Like, I have counseled so many little girls who have to push a dresser in front of their bedroom door at night because they're scared to death of their dads and brothers because they know what they're watching online. No kid should have to grow up like that. In the midst of them stood Jaznah, the son of Shaphan. Who is that? Shaphan was the guy that read the word of God to King Josiah when they had a great revival. Jaznah heard his daddy read the word of God. And even today, you guys are in a Christian school. I'm not preaching to teens who don't know God. You know God. You know what he loves. You know what he hates. Isn't it amazing that we still choose to be involved in that which he hates? Verse 12, he said unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man, the chambers of his imagery are the rooms of his imagination. For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." Okay, teens, look at me. What do you do in the dark when you think nobody's watching? What do you do in the dark when you think you'll never, ever get caught? There's one thing about these guys. They did not know God very well because they said, "The Lord seeth us not." Lie! The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. They say the Lord hath forsaken the earth. No, he hasn't, and he never will. You cannot hide from God. And why would you ever want to? Verse 13, he said unto me, "Turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations that they do." And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which is toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Who is this? Tammuz was a false god, and once a year they would gather together and worship this god. Every form of immorality was part of the worship. Get this, even the point, girls, these young moms were taking their living babies. They were killing these babies and sacrificing them to this god. And it says, "Turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations." What can be worse? Every form of immorality, killing their own babies. We go on to see, brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, again, describing spiritual leaders there, get this, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worship the sun toward the east. Do you get the digression here? These people said, "God, we don't want to worship you. We don't want you in a sanctuary." Not only did they drive God out of the sanctuary, now they're literally turned their back on God. They don't even want him in their lives. And at whatever point, teens, you drive God out of your personal time with him, it is just a matter of time that you become one of those 60% who totally turn away from God. Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah? They commit the abominations they commit here. Is it a light thing? Is it no big deal? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it bother them? Is it a light thing? Doesn't it literally tear our hearts out when we choose to be involved in that which God hates? He said, they filled the land with violence, returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put a branch to their nose. It's a little bit hard to understand, but basically it's the same as today. If a guy wants to show his hatred or his contempt through vulgar sign language, basically by giving someone the finger, they did the same thing back then to God. God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't want you in your lives. Now they're even mocking God. Teens, the last verse of this vision is pretty sad. God says, I'll deal in my fury. Don't you dare ever think that God does not get angry at sin, because he does. He says, mine eye shall not spare. I will not overlook this. Neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. What does this mean? When we sin and we ask God to forgive us, does he forgive us? Yes or no? Yes. Does he always remove the consequences of sin? These people said, God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't want you in our lives. And you know what God said? God said, okay. The ultimate of God's wrath is not correction and chastisement. The ultimate of God's wrath is when he gets quiet and he stops convicting you. You want life without God? And then God says, okay, in this situation, he allowed an entire other nation to come in and take these people into captivity. In captivity, the men literally became slaves. They were animals. There was no respect for human life whatsoever. And in captivity and enslavement, we don't talk a lot about this, but basically, girls, you're nothing more than a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. When it comes to the dark side of the internet, we have the same thing. I want everybody to sit up tall, okay, and be watching me. We have the same thing. Enslavement, guys, did you know that most say that pornography is more addictive than much of the heroin that's on the market today? And on the dark side of the internet, girls, you are. You're nothing more than a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. We're going to walk back through this passage. And I want to show you the power of the dark side of the internet. I'm going to show you its perversity. Its privacy, or I should say its false sense of privacy. What it will cost you in your life, and then what we can do even today to prevent it. In regards to the power of the dark side of the internet, teens, I want you to know that there is no one in this room, no one that's beyond the power and the pull of the dark side of the internet. Not you, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your best friend, not your parents, not me, not your pastors, not your teachers. No one is beyond this. Did you know right now on AOL, over 40% of all internet traffic is adult-oriented? And all the statistics tell us that 75 to 80% of men who access the web have already chosen to access pornography. If I ask 10 of you guys to stand up right now, then ask 3 of you to sit down. Statistics would say the other 7 have already chosen to be a part of this. This is spiritual warfare like nothing I've ever seen in my life. Who is one of the strongest men in the Bible? What was his name? Samson. What destroyed his walk with God? His incredible lust for strange women. Who is one of the wisest kings in all the Bible? His name? Solomon. 700 wives, 300 cucumber vines. Did he have a problem? Yeah. And again, these women pulled his heart away from God. Who is one of the most godly kings in all the Bible? His name? David. Did David walk with God? Yes. Did David sing praises to God? Yes. Did David hate sin? Yes. Did he choose to sin? Yes. Are you like closer to God than David? I'm not. I want to be. I'm striving to be. But I'm not. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, watch out, be careful, lest you fall. You better watch and pray lest you enter into this temptation. I mean, the spirit is ready. Come on, none of us want to get messed up with this. But the flesh is so weak. Speaking of the strange woman, the Bible says she has cast down many wounded. Get this, many strong men have been slain by her. Focus on the Family used to have this hotline, this care line for pastors only. According to their statistics, 1 out of 7 calls were pastors addicted to internet porn. Does the internet offer the same kind of problem for girls as it does for guys? You know, there was a time that I said there was major difference in the visual. But in my world in counseling now, you girls know what you struggle with. I remember one week I had to counsel 3 little girls, 7th and 8th graders, 12 and 13, who because they went online started enjoying this stuff, obviously because they liked it, thought that they were basically lesbians, and therefore they had to live that way because they liked it. And now we got to counsel them through that. And that's just the visual. But what about the high-tech communication? You know, obviously, most of you probably have Facebook, or most of you are passing that on to Instagram or whatever it might be today for you, because moms have taken over Facebook, and everybody's got to have Facebook, everybody's got to have a Facebook friend. I know, I understand all that. But in some ways, you can kind of take care of who you're talking to. But when it comes to blogs and chat rooms and that kind of stuff, you don't know who you're talking to. You say, yes, I do. No, you don't. FBI did a sting operation where they took a lady FBI agent and put her into a chat room reserved for teenage girls only. There were 22 girls in the room. Now, they have the technology to trace all those lines. When they did so, out of those 22 girls, all 22 were men, pretending to be girls, typing like girls, to try to get some information, to try to get what they call a face-to-face. No one is beyond the power and the pull of the dark side of the internet. What about its perversity? I want you to know that every form of wicked immorality is online. And what are the dangers for you? The dangers for your kids? You say, our kids? Most of you will probably be married in the next 5, 10, 15, 30, 40 years, okay? You will be. No, seriously, many of you will be married in 5 years and maybe have a couple little kids. And so maybe by that time, TV and internet will be so integrated, your kids get up to watch cartoons on Saturday morning, but they don't change channels anymore. They go to one website to another. What are the dangers? The easy and anonymous access to the pornography. It used to be that people had to sneak around. Now all you guys got to do is go home from school. Make sure mom's not there yet. Dad's still at work. Start clicking away. It's easy. Many of you are so into this, you just can't even hardly keep it from what you carry in your pocket, your phone. What are the dangers? And I'll be very, very discreet here, okay? But I'll tell you one of the greatest dangers is the distribution of child pornography. Now, do you know what I do when I'm not preaching or running a camp or being stupid in our skit time or taking a hike? You know what I do? I hang out with you guys. I hang out with teens. That is my life. So what do? Okay, I'm in my office with a 14-year-old girl whose mom's boyfriend raped her and she had AIDS and she's going to die. Another girl, 15, a very similar thing happened to her, only she got pregnant and then they forced her to have an abortion. So she's in my office screaming, they made me kill my baby. And every single time there's any child pornography, some kid's life has been destroyed. Some kid's life has been wrecked. It could be your little brother and sister. It could be your child someday. A mom sent this email. Let me just share it with you. She said, I always felt pornography is bad, that it was harmful, but I felt it didn't affect me personally. We live in a small, close-knit community. It's not an issue there. I basically felt immune to its effects. A year ago in April, my world was shattered by the effects of pornography. My 3-year-old daughter was raped and violated in every manner you can imagine by a 12-year-old boy. When they arrested the young man, we were told they would surely find abuse in his background. This is the reason he did this to my daughter. After a thorough evaluation, they came to one conclusion. There was no abuse in his background. But he was exposed to pornography. What he saw not only gave him ideas of what to do and how to do it, it gave him permission to treat females in a degrading and a debasing manner. So I'm in my office, okay? I got a young mom. She's got two little kids, 2 and 4. I'm talking to her husband on the phone. Now, he should have been at camp, but he can't be. He's a pastor. Well, was. Why am I talking to him on the phone? Because he's in prison. And why is he in prison? Because he couldn't keep his stinking hands off other people's kids. Do you think he woke up one morning and thought, I think I'll just destroy my family and my ministry and go out and molest a couple little kids? When he was 12 and 13 and 14, he started sneaking around looking at this stuff. 15 and 16, he wouldn't quit. 17 and 18, he kept digging in more and more. Got into his 20s, and every single time his flesh would cry out, he would say, yes, 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 till the biggie came. And he couldn't say no. And the last I heard, he's getting a second 15-year sentence. His kids will be almost 40 by the time he gets out of prison. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. And guys, if you think you can mess around and just dig in a little bit here and there right now, what you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What about the privacy? Son of man, hast thou seen with the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Teens, there is no privacy. Delete does not mean delete. And secret sins may not be as secret as you think they are. You say, Rand, come on. We know how to deal with the history and temp files, and we can eat up all the cookies. Go for it. Smash your computer. Bury it. Did you know that your ISP, depending on what state you're from, your ISP is required by law to keep the address of every site you visit or attempt to visit 3 to 5 years? You say, who cares? I'm going to tell you his name. His name is Satan, and he hates your God. And he does not want to just entrap you. He wants to expose you, Christian, to show the whole world that your God is weak. Yeah. There is no privacy. Camp, a 17-year-old girl, I think she's a senior in high school, came to me and said, Rand, can I? And then just started to cry. That's normally what they do. She said, not long ago, I went to check my email. And of course, if you're the last one on the computer, they had a family computer. You type one or two letters, enter, boom, you know, you're there. And she said, when I hit enter, whoa, what was on the screen was so filthy. And part of my problem is I can't get those images out of my mind. She said, I knew it couldn't be my dad. He's a Christian school teacher and a deacon in our church. I knew it couldn't be my mom. She, like, doesn't even know how to boot up the computer. She said, it had to either be my friend who came over and visited the week before, or my sister just left for college. So I called my friend. I said, why? Why would you do that in our home on our computer? Her friend said, I didn't do that. She said, next weekend I confronted my sister, and she said the same thing. So the girl begins to weep again. She said, Rand, it's got to be my dad. And I don't know what to do. I said, can you talk to him? She said, no, I'm scared of him. I said, you want me to talk to him for you? She said, would you please? So I called him that night. I said, sir, this is Rand Hummel from the Wilds. Is my daughter okay? I said, she is fine physically. And then I gave him the story that she gave me, how she had worked so hard to prove it would not or could not be her daddy. And I ended the conversation this way. I said, sir, either someone's sneaking into your basement, washing this trash on your computer at night, or you have got a problem. And he was quiet for the longest time, and then he said this. I've struggled with my thought life for years, and now it's just too easy. Is that your problem? It's just too easy. There is no privacy. And even if you can sneak around, So mom never finds out, and your teachers never find out, and dad never finds out. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You cannot hide it from God. What's it going to cost you? God says, I'm going to deal my fury, and I'm not going to overlook this. You cannot sin and win. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. Say that with me. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of your sin. If you play this game, I promise you, you will lose. You will lose trust from mom and dad. You will lose trust from your future husband or wife. You will lose your purity of mind. You'll lose that close relationship with God. You will lose. And even the lying that goes online. I'm very concerned about some people that you talk to and friends. Yeah. One guy, and he was actually in England, and he met the woman of his dreams, this gorgeous, wonderful 26-year-old girl here in America. They communicated back and forth. She never thought he could earn the money, but finally he did, and he got to meet her face to face. But she wasn't 26. She was 65. Hey, mom, meet my new girlfriend. Yeah, maybe you can share Paladin or something. I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of lying going on. I was at a church and situation happened, a young couple. I think they were 22. They'd been married for like a year and a half. And the guy comes home from work. When he walks in the house, he just knows something's wrong. There's a note on the table. His young wife, her stuff's gone. She said, I met somebody online. I'm leaving. He sat down, just started to cry. The phone rang. It was his wife's dad, his father-in-law. He said, hey, how you kids doing? Mom and I thought we'd surprise you this weekend, come down and visit. And the guy told him what he just read in the note. And the dad said, well, I thought I saw your car go up the other side of the interstate. So he quick took the next exit, came around, got back, and followed his daughter for 2 hours. She never knew. 2 hours until she pulled off in an exit, went into a Lowe's parking lot, drove up to a white van, a man got out. She went up, embraced him, and then dad drove in. Now, I will at least say this, because of the shock of the situation, she got in the car with her mom and went back to her husband. But guys, would you think you'd struggle a little bit in trusting that wife again? So guys, what do you think your wife will feel like when she finds out the kind of trust that you've been looking at? Don't you think she's going to lose some trust there? The price tag is unbelievable. Pornography will steal from you everything that is good and wonderful in relationships. I can't even tell you the number of girls I've had to counsel who have written a little love note to her dad. Daddy, I love you, and I know what you're looking at, and I wish you wouldn't, and taping that little note onto her dad's computer. I mean, week after week, I get these stories from young wives and kids whose parents are getting involved in this trash. You think they start at like 28 and 32? No! You start right now, it's your age. And you think these things will never happen to me. And we're going to talk about blocks and filters. There are not enough blocks and filters out there. You're smart. You know how to get around them. This is a heart issue. And you've got to love God, and you've got to love your parents, and you've got to love your future spouse more than you love you. Because anyone involved in this sin is totally in love with himself. And they don't care about other people. What can we do? Behold, the glory of the God of Israel is there. Sometimes I think we forget this. God is there. All-powerful, all-knowing God. God who gives his grace. Remember, it's God that works in us, Philippians 2, to do and to will, or he will give you the power to do what is right, but he'll also make you want to do what is right. God will give you the desire to hate this stuff. If you're not proud, because he resists the proud, he only gives his grace, remember, to the humble. But if you proudly jump into this sin and don't care about what God says, you're in trouble. Because then you got to fight it in your own strength. We're going to look at four Bible principles, and I promise they're Bible. Secret agent, surfer dude, sumo wrestler, I'll explain, hang on, and strange woman principle. Secret agents are cool. My favorite was a guy named Maxwell Smart. He used to take his shoe off and talk into his phone, you know? Secret agents, sneak around so nobody can see them. Come on, teens, don't be a secret agent. Don't be sneaking around, shutting the door and control tab and trying to hide where you've been. Don't hide this stuff. Let the words of my mouth, that's your texts. That's what you write in your wall. It's how you message. It's how you talk. And the meditation of my heart, that's your thought life. Lord, I want everything I think and everything I say be acceptable in your sight. Please, you're my strength. You're my redeemer. Don't be a secret agent. How do you do this? Well, first of all, accountability. Don't go online alone. If you struggle with this, make sure mom's there, dad's there, brother or sister. Invite the entire second grade class over to your house. I don't care what you do, but don't go online alone. Visibility. Never surf in secret. Come on. Now, I don't want to be mean, but week after week, these guys come and say, hey, I'm addicted to porn. I don't know what to do. I'm like, this is rocket scientist stuff. Dude, where are you when you have a problem? In my room. Who are you with? Nobody. What are you doing? Surfing the web. Dude, get out of your room. Yeah, don't turn your computer on. Don't be stupid. Stop! That's what I want to say. I do. You don't have to do this stuff. And vulnerability, never talk to strangers. I want to be kind here, please. And I will be kind. But girls, please, I'm on your side. I hope you know that already. But some of you girls, you feel you're incredibly unattractive and that no boy would ever like you. There's always the other girls that seem to get all the attention from the guys at school or at church. And so here you are online and you meet somebody, you start communicating back and forth and you start saying things you would never say face to face. And he starts saying stuff like, wow, I've never met anybody like you in my life. You're wonderful. It's almost like you can read right in my heart. Ah, whoever marries you is going to be the luckiest guy in all the world. Well, I'd give anything to spend my life with you. And what you're not thinking is he is doing this to 40 or 50 others at the very same time. It's not you. In 2 weeks' time, I had five girls brought to me for counsel. All five had met a guy online, and all five had run away from home, so they brought him to me to counsel. Out of those five, if I remember right, three of them got raped, and the other two chose to throw their virginity away. Now, this is the world that you live in. You didn't ask to be born in this world. That's not your fault, but it is the world we live in. You've got to be so careful. The surfer dude principle. You surf the web, surfer dudes are not really known for their intelligence, like, duh, gag me with a spoon type stuff, you know? A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. When you're prudent, when you're wise, you say, okay, if I go out that door right there, I'm going to be in big trouble. Duh, don't go out that door. But the simple pass right on. They don't even think. They just pass right on and are punished. They receive the consequences. The simple, just sit down, don't have anything to do, and start surfing the web. You're like four clicks away from major trash. By the way, you know what the word simple, when it's translated Greek, you know what the Greek word is? Moros. What word do you know sounds like moros? Moron. We are idiots if we think we can mess around with the dark side of the internet and escape the consequences of sin. Refuse to surf. It'll keep you out of deep water. I preach every couple years at a Christian school in Hawaii. One time when I was there, I said, oh, Ram, we're so glad you're here. We're going surfing. The waves are 15 feet high. I said, what if you fall off a wave that's 15 feet high? They said, well, it's like falling off a wall, but you're not going to fall. We're going to be with you. But we got to go early in the week because they said the undertow is shifting and there might be some sharks. Stop right there, okay? I'm not going surfing. I still wear swimmies when I get in the bathtub. I'm not going, okay? Refuse to surf. In other words, know where you're going and what you want. Guys, if you would go online like you shop, No, not like these girls shop, but like you shop, you know? Girls, have you ever been with girls when they shop? It's like they're on a mission. Okay, so they get all this stuff for Christmas. And to complete the outfit, all they need is a blouse, you know? So they go to a fancy clothing store like Target or something like that. And the very first blouse they pick up, it's on sale, 85% off. It's the right color. It's the right size. It only costs $2.12. But they look at every other blouse in the mall before they buy that one. It's weird. I've been shopping with my wife. She said, "Hun, I'm going to try on a couple outfits, okay?" So we're there, a bunch of trying rooms, a bunch of overstuffed chairs, a bunch of guys sitting there. I said, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" They look at me and say, "Good. We called in a pizza. You want to chip in?" I said, "No, I'm not going to be here long." They're like laughing at me. You know, one of them had a little boy. I said, "Hey, how old's your boy there?" He said, "I don't know. He was 2 when we came here, you know?" It's kind of the way it is. But guys, when they shop, they get in, they get it, and they get out. If you would do that, you'd save your heart from a lot of hurt. Sumo wrestle. Okay, now sumo wrestlers are cool. All 700-800 pounds. And when they take that 1 foot and put it down, everything jiggles, even their chins. They have more chins than a Chinese phone book. You know, these guys are cool. They are. Now, I would not like to look like one. I would love to eat like one, but I'd get embarrassed wearing diapers in public, so I'm not going to do it, okay? One of the things these guys do, they get like in a big circle, you know? And the guy grabs a hold of him and knocks him out of the circle. When he does, he loses. Gang, I'm not going to spend my life right here on the edge waiting to be hit and lose. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay as far from that edge as I possibly can. Do you want a principle to help you in life? Don't just stay away from sin. Stay away from temptation. Okay? I travel a lot. And my favorite meal for years, not anymore, but for years, was the dollar menu at McDonald's. 2 of those McDoubles with cheese and a biggie fry and hazelnut coffee. Ice cough. Oh, it's wonderful. And on one of my trips, my wife said, "Rand, will you promise me on this trip, you will not go to McDonald's?" I said, "Oh, I promise, I do." Wendy's has a great McDouble too, stack, you know, whatever. So seriously, I stay away from McDonald's now. It's good stuff. I don't even want to be tempted. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put on his character, his characteristics, and make not provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it with me. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it again. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Just the girls. Hard
to sin, easy to do right.
Just the guys.
Hard to sin, easy to do right.
Just the guys sound like girls. Hard to sin, easy to do right. Just the girls sound like guys. One more time, the right way. Hard to sin, easy to do right. You say, "Rand, you're an idiot." I am, but I want you to remember this. If you live your life by making it hard to sin, easy to do right, you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You make not provisions for the flesh. It makes such a difference. How do you do this? Protect with passwords. Come on, you guys will probably, again, all be married in the next couple years. When you get married, girls insist on splitting a password with your husband. What do I mean? You have half, he has half. So that means nobody can go online at home unless you're both there. Now, guys are real bright. So you get your brand new, you know, iMachine. And you sit and he's go, "Okay, I get the first part. Let's see, Apple." You know, that's his password, you know. Now, she doesn't know Apple, but he gets up and walks out. And she walks in and sits down. She knows what they're having for supper that night. So she types in fritters. She doesn't know Apple. He doesn't know fritters. 2 weeks later. He comes home from work. There's a note in the door. "Honey, I went shopping with some friends. I'll be home about 8:30. He's home. He's alone. And he's tempted. Says, "I know her pretty good. I think I can figure out what she would put. Applesauce. Apple Jacks. Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. Who's not ready? Holler. Aye." No fritters. No internet. No fritters. No sin. Protect yourself with filters. SafeEyes.com. Be safe. Covenant Eyes. Did you know Covenant Eyes? We have it on all our computers at the Wilds. It doesn't block one thing. Nothing. It's a accountability partner. What we do when we put that on, my secretary, IT guys, they get a readout. And then it sends me every single week. that lists every site that I have visited or attempted to visit. Isn't that cool? I want that kind of accountability. But you guys say, Rand, if I tell my wife that, she won't trust me. Dude, I don't trust me. You shouldn't trust you. You do. You get all the accountability you can get. The last principle is the strange woman principle. The Bible says, remove thy way far from her. Come not near the icon of her website. That's what it means in Hebrew there. Lest you give your honor to others and yours to cruel and strangers be filled with your wealth. Teens, please. If you go somewhere where there's free Wi-Fi and you pull out a piece of plastic and you type in four numbers, expiration date, and like you buy this stuff, you're not tripping and falling into sin. You are presumptuously choosing to sin. Lest you give your honor to others and yours to the cruel. For 10, 15, 20 years, you can live for God. 10, 15, 20 years, have a great testimony at school. Get married, raise your kids for God. Send them off to Christian college. Teach Sunday school. Live for your Lord. 25 years of doing right. One night of sin, and you get caught. What will people remember about you? Your 25 years of doing right, or your one night of sin? You concentrate in your relationship with your family. You think, guys, what it'd be like to go home from school, sit down to check a couple scores, be tempted for just a few minutes? Nobody's home. You didn't think. For 5-7 minutes, look at stuff you shouldn't. All of a sudden, you hear something. There's mom. You thought she was at work, but she's standing, leaning against the door, tears rolling down her cheek as she watches what you're watching. You concentrate in your relationship with your spouse, for most of you, your future spouse. Guys, do you want to marry a girl who for years has been talking filthy with other guys? I don't think so. And girls, do you want to marry a guy who for years has been filling his mind with pornography? Is that the kind of guy you want to help you raise your little girl someday? I don't think so. You concentrate in your relationship with your Lord. Ezekiel. Do you see what my people are doing? They've driven me out of the sanctuary. They don't want to worship me anymore. They're turning their backs on me, and they do not even want me in their lives. I preach to you. I warn you, teens. I beg you, please, please, do not get caught in the dark side of the internet. The fear of the Lord is to respect God's holiness by hating what he hates. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to pray for you and then we'll be dismissed. No hand raising, no invitation. All heads are bowed. Just listen. Don't want you to stare at the floor though. I want you to think. This is a tough message. I told you it would be. How do you deal with it? A couple ways. Number one, many of you need to ask God for forgiveness right now. And he will forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive. But remember, confession is agreeing with God. It's not just emptying out your trash right now to fill it up tonight. It's agreeing with God. Second thing is you say, I better pray for protection. Yeah, every day. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't pray before I even get out of bed. Lord, please keep me pure today. This is a God thing. We can't do it in our own strength because we live in a wicked, wicked world. Lord, keep me pure today. But I don't want you just to pray for you. Girls, I want you to pray for your future husband. And guys, I want you to pray for your future wife because they're tempted in the same area that you are right now. You probably don't know who it is. But God does. Pray for the protection of your future husband or wife. And then pray for those you love. You got brothers, you got dads, you got moms, you got sisters. There's no one beyond this pool. So let me give you just a second to pray, and then I'll close. Mr. Grass will come and close us. And Father, we thank you for the tender hearts of these teens, just that their quietness is shown. Please protect us. I know so many fall into this and they just quit on you. Help us not to love this sin more than we love you and more than we love our families. Please, Lord, help us to hate what you hate and only love what you love. We do thank you, even though this is hard. We thank you for this vision that you gave Ezekiel. May what we studied today never be said of any of our lives. Please, Lord, you put that hedge of protection around these teens. So please, you'd never, ever let them destroy their lives in this way. As we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.